I wonder, have you ever felt insignificant? Perhaps as you think about your own life, you don't really feel that you've achieved very much. And perhaps as you think of yourself, you think yourself as somewhat unimportant. And that well could have described how the people from Thyatira felt, because it was a very small and unimportant town, and it could have been so easily overlooked and forgotten about. However, the values of God are not the values of men, because although this was a small church and in the sight of man somewhat insignificant, Thyatira received the longest letter out of the seven mentioned in the book of Revelation. The Lord Jesus Christ has called his church to be holy and to maintain purity by dealing with sin in the midst. Indeed, the very first institution that Jesus gave to the church was about confronting sin. In Matthew 18, verses 15 to 17, we read this command from Jesus. If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault, just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. But if he will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen, then tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector. The practice of church discipline that the Lord Jesus instituted was to maintain the holiness of the church. Church discipline calls sinning believers back to righteous behavior. And if there's no repentance, then the church is to purge those who stubbornly cling to their sin. The church in Thyatira failed to exercise church discipline, and they had become a church that tolerated sin. And sadly, throughout history, many churches have followed this self-destructive pattern. If there's no discipline, then the church can often be like an out-of-control teenager. As we delve into the church of Thyatira, I believe there is an important message for us to wrestle with. If false doctrine and sin are tolerated, then ultimately that will bring judgment from the Lord of the church. As we read verse 18, we are left in no doubt who this letter is from. Verse 18 says, to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these are the words of the Son of God, whose eyes are like blazing fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze. The title Son of God is the only time this phrase appears in the book of Revelation. And it emphasizes Christ's deity, and it stresses the point that he is one with the Father. The emphasis is on his deity because he is about to bring judgment on this church. His eyes are like blazing fire, and his piercing laser-like vision sees all. Nothing can be disguised, covered, or hidden from the risen Lord Jesus Christ. The eyes of blazing fire seem to indicate a severity of inspection. Those blazing eyes will strip away all of our outward appearances. So often, we can judge others because of what they have. A big house, a big car, an important job. But in the eyes of a holy God, all of that is stripped away, and he sees who we really are. 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7 reminds us, man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And as the Lord looks with his blazing eyes into your life and into my life, I wonder, what does he see? Does he see someone who is totally given over to the things of God? Or even this evening as you sit in this meeting house, does he still see someone who is full of sin? I tell you this evening that it is unrepented sin that will keep you out of heaven. Maybe your life is full of good works, and it's very possible that you've never done anyone any harm. But all those good works will be stripped away, because God wants to see what you've done with his only son. His feet are described as burnished bronze, and that is reminiscent of the words we would find later in Revelation. Revelation 19 and verse 15, where it says of Christ that he treads the winepress of fury of the wrath of God Almighty. This evening, as you sit in this meeting house, Jesus has the feet of grace, and he longs for you to be part of his family. But here is the stark warning that sounded from this pulpit this evening. Tomorrow you may discover that he has the feet of bronze because you've left it too late. Please do not reject God's mercy and grace, but rather trust in Jesus while you have the opportunity. This terrifying description of Jesus must have created shock and fear when the letter was read to the congregation of Thyatira. It came as a sobering realization that Christ will judge continual unrepented sin. As with previous letters in Revelation, Jesus begins with words of praise. And we find those words recorded in verse 19, where Jesus says, "I know your deeds, your love and faith, your service and perseverance, and that you are now doing more than you did at first." The believers in Thyatira were showing love for God and love for one another, although that love was apparently fragile because their doctrine was weak. Ephesus, who was mentioned at the beginning of the book of chapter 2 of Revelation, Ephesus had left their first love, whereas here the church in Thyatira was the first church to be commended for its love. Jesus also praised the believers for their faith, or a better translation would be their faithfulness. They were dependable, reliable, and consistent. And out of their faith flowed service and perseverance. Those who love will express that love through meeting the needs of others. But not only did the believers in Thyatira possess these virtues, but as Christ examined the church, so he gave them an excellent evaluation. And he said that they were doing more than they did at first. In other words, their loving service was becoming more consistent, and their faithful perseverance was growing stronger. They were growing in grace, maturing in their Christian lives, and advancing in the cause of Christ. And for all of this behavior, the risen Christ warmly commends them. But let's bring our congregations under those eyes of blazing fire. We bring the congregation of Trinity, Brookside, First to Huckle. And as the Lord will look in on us, I wonder, would he be able to praise us for our deeds? Do we show love for God and for others? Could we be commended for our faithfulness? Have we grown in our service and perseverance? The truth is, I don't know all the answers to those questions. We need to keep working, surely, at our love for God and for others. We need to keep pressing on and upwards for the glory of God. And whatever congregation you're from this evening, be encouraged and keep being on fire for God. Keep moving on. Keep demanding more. Keep expecting more, because we have a great and mighty God. Oh, this would be a lovely letter, and indeed a great message, if it had finished at verse 19. But of course it doesn't. As the blazing eyes of Jesus look deeper into this church, so he exposes the problem within this church. The problem in Thyatira was not external persecution, but rather it was internal compromise. Not vicious wolves from outside the flock, but perverse people from within. The penetrating gaze of the Lord of the church had discerned serious error, causing him to warn, "I have this against you." And the use of the singular pronoun points this word of warning to the leader of the congregation. Listen carefully to the warning. "Nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and the eating of food sacrificed to idols." The church in Thyatira had gone against the biblical teaching that women are not to be teachers or preachers in the church. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 12 makes this issue very clear. "I do not permit a woman to teach or have authority over a man. She must be silent." Women have a very important role within the life of any congregation. And indeed, I would say this evening we would be totally lost without the women of our church. But I cannot find any scriptural warrant for a woman to be the teaching elder. But an even bigger problem was that the church in Thyatira was permitting this woman to mislead the church through her, and she was leading into compromise whereby they tolerated sin. The risen Lord Jesus gave this false prophetess the name Jezebel because she was leading God's people astray, so that she committed acts of immorality and she ate the food that was offered to idols. She taught the believers how to compromise with the Roman religion, and if there was a refusal to compromise, then the believers lost their jobs, and in some cases, they even lost their lives. But the account of this false prophetess surely raises a question which every believer must face. And it's simply this, is coming up on the screen. How far should we accept and adopt contemporary standards and practices? On the one hand, Christians must not deny their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but on the other hand, they must not deny their membership of society. The cause of Christ is not served well if Christians appear to be a group of old-fashioned people always trying to retreat from the real world. As we live in the same world as those who are outside of Christ, and often we face the same problems and the same issues, so we must always seek to find a Christian solution that will honour God. The Bible teaches that true Christians can fall into sexual immorality. And if you sin in such a way, there's still hope, there's still forgiveness through the grace of God. And perhaps there's someone in this meeting house this evening who's struggling with that very issue. Oh God, with that penetrating eye, he sees that, he knows that. But God wants you to repent of your sin and to know his grace and to know the forgiveness in your life. To fall into sin is one thing, but to lead others into sin is even a more serious matter. And that was what was going on with this false prophetess. As Christians, we need to remind ourselves that we are the bride of Christ and we need to be above reproach. Of course, sexual sin is nothing new. Right back in the book of Genesis, Genesis 39, we read of Joseph and how he was seduced by Potiphar's wife. He had every opportunity to have sex with this woman. And what did he say in Genesis 39 in verse 9? He said, "How then can I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" And Potiphar's wife came after him again and again. And in verse 12, we read, she caught him by his cloak and said, "Come to bed with me." But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. And the best advice that I can give is that if you come under that temptation, that sexual temptation, is to be like Joseph and to run from it and to run as fast as you can. Young people here tonight, the devil wants to sift you. The devil wants to destroy your life. The devil wants to mess your life. And when that temptation comes, run from it and run as fast as you can. The Lord is always gracious. And he was even gracious to Jezebel. In Revelation 2 and 21, he gives her time to repent, but she did not want to repent of her immorality. And here this evening in this meeting house, likewise, God is gracious and he gives us the opportunity to repent. And maybe as God's blazing eye comes upon us as individuals, maybe there's a Christian and you know that you've strayed from God's standards and you're ashamed of what you've done, but you carry on with that. You kind of feel, well, it's a secret because no one knows about it. Oh, nothing. Nothing is hidden from the blazing eyes of Jesus. And right now, God calls you to come and to repent of that. Right now, God wants you to be the people that he is seeking out. But maybe there's someone here tonight and you've never, ever trusted the Lord as your Savior. Well, then right now, right here, God is calling you to repent of your sin and follow him. The brutal warning for Jezebel's followers was unless they repented of their sinful ways, they would face the judgment of God. And likewise, unless you repent of your sin, so ultimately you will face God's judgment. Hebrews 9 and verse 27 warns us, man is destined to die, and after that, to face judgment. This judgment is real, and this judgment is very serious. We will all be judged by a holy and righteous God. And that begs the question for all of us to answer this evening. And simply I ask you tonight, have you repented of your sin? Have you accepted Jesus as your Savior? If not, if you have rejected him, and if you die in that state, so he will reject you. And God's word, not the preacher tonight, God's word says you will spend eternity in hell. The warning was sounded to the church in Thyatira. And we do not know how many in that congregation responded to Christ's warning. But tragically, the church as a whole apparently did not heed it. History records how they fell prey to heresy. And the church of Thyatira went out of existence at the end of the second century. As a preacher of the gospel, all I'm called to do is to faithfully warn people of the intending doom. And this evening I've sounded that warning and I leave the results with the Lord because it's his work and it is his kingdom. So this evening we have already noted the praise and the problems in the church of Thyatira. But in closing we discover that not everyone was unfaithful to Thyatira. And for those who remained faithful, the Lord Jesus had a promise. And we find that promise in verses 26 to 28. Let me read those verses again. To him who overcomes and does my will to the end. I will give authority over the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He will dash them to pieces like pottery, just as I have received authority from my Father. I will also give him the morning star. To those who persevered in doing the will of God, two things were promised. And that was in the assuring of Christ's rule and the assuring of Christ's glory. It's an amazing thing to think that even the humblest of Christians shall sit down with Christ on his judgment throne and join with him in trying, condemning, and consigning to judgment the enemies of Christ and his church. Real authority, real power does not rest with the nations of the world, but it rests completely with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will ultimately be the judge of all. The second and final thing that we're promised is the assuring of God's glory. Revelation 22, we read the final words of Scripture, and in verse 16 of that chapter we read, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. The promise to the church in Thyatira is found in chapter 2, verse 28. I will also give him the morning star. The morning star is a clear reference to the Lord Jesus. This is the ultimate reward for every Christian, to be with the Lord and to enjoy his presence forever. Oh, this evening, if you know and love the Lord, then I trust you will leave this meeting house feeling encouraged because of all that Christ has done for you. And with confidence, you can look forward to being in his presence forever and ever. But ere we leave this meeting house, let me urge each one of you to examine your own life before a holy God. And if you know there are problems, then please sort them out this evening, and please endeavor to walk close with God. Christ urged those who were against him that they must repent. And that's how I conclude this evening. If you're still against the Savior, you must repent. You must turn away from your sin if you're to know Christ as your Savior. I wonder, will you repent right now? Let us pray. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you and we praise you for your word, because it is your word that ultimately can change lives. And we thank you this evening for the letter to the church in Thyatira. We thank you, Father, that it's a strong message, a message that speaks to our own lives. And Father, this evening, it's possible you've been speaking to many in this congregation. And right now, as we bring our lives under your blazing eyes, Father, we pray that you will forgive us. Forgive us when so often we are rebellious, when so often we want to go our own way. Forgive us, O Father, when we fall into sin. We pray, Lord, that you would make us the people that you want us to be. How you have called us to be salt and light. And we pray that in the week ahead, may we be salt and light within this village. We pray, Lord, as we would converse with our neighbors, as we would be around the shop, as we would be in the workplace, as we would be at school or college, wherever we might be, help us to be that salt and light. Help others to be able to see something of Christ in our lives. Help us, O Father, to walk worthy of the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray for, for any who are still without you. For any, Lord, who are still holding on to a life of good works, holding on to their good reputation, but perhaps have never trusted in Jesus. Lord, will you help them to see tonight that you see beyond all of that, and that you will ultimately judge, and that you'll strip away all of that, and it's only what we have done for Jesus will last. Help us, Lord, tonight. Help us to realize that. I pray, Lord, for those tonight who long even for that peace. Help them to find it in Christ and in Christ alone. So, Lord, we ask you then to take your word and to speak on. We pray all these things in the Savior's name. Amen.